Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that you've given us freedom of religion, freedom of belief and faith, to trust in you at this hour, to have a special place of worship we can come to. And that's granted to us by the virtue of yourself, Lord, that you have kept the hand of the enemy away, that we can come here. We pray now, Lord, that you'll keep the enemy away from us relative to our thoughts and minds. All those things, Lord, which might hinder us, we pray that we'll have a free access in this hour to know the things of God. They might be very real to us, to increase our knowledge and understanding so that our faith becomes more and more revealed. We know where we stand. No errors, Lord, but strength given to us from your revealed word in this hour. We commend ourselves to you, Lord, for whatever you might give us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, the subject relative still to the rapture, but not going into the reading of it at this point, is the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. And because it's very relative to the subject, we want to try to get the difference between the two of them. We'll read first of all in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2, 2 Peter 3 and 10, the day of the Lord, and then get to Revelations, the Lord's day. It says then in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And then in 2 Peter, that Brother Branham connected to the rapture as part of the reading, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. And in Revelation 1 and 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, according to the theologians and the students of Scripture, there is a difference between the day of the Lord and the Lord's day, although you might not think that, because both would be in the genitive case showing possession. But there is a difference, and it appears that the Lord's day, which is used over here in Revelation 1 and 10, is used in contradistinction to man's day. The Lord's day, then, is that which is no doubt a period of time in contradistinction to man's day. Now, man has had his day, which, of course, is roughly 6,000 years. And that same period of time, Brother Branham called Satan's Eden, wherein he was fashioning man and has brought man to this point where he is today in his culture and his religion and all those things pertaining to him, especially in the spiritual. And of course, God has to have his day later on. Now, it's time, of course, for the Lord's day to begin, which will last at least 1,000 years, which is the millennium, which has been called the honeymoon or the getting acquainted period of the bride and groom, which, of course, will not last only that 1,000 years, but will continue on. It goes much further. However, that 1,000 years is the starting point, actually. Now, in Patmos Vision, page 95, paragraph 131, Brother Branham says, now John was transmitted from the Isle of Patmos in the Spirit over into the Lord's day. This is the day of man. So he agrees with the theologians and students. Men are fighting, but the day of the Lord will come when these kingdoms will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Then there'll be the great millennium. The Lord's day, the day of his coming, his judgment, that'll be the Lord's day. Now, from what he said there, it is quite easy to see that what Brother Branham said on page 95 is literally Revelation 19:11 to Revelation 20:15, and that would be the Lord's Day. And in reading it, you'll find that it is very, very sure that man's day is over and the Lord's day has set in. And so, reading, beginning at 19:11, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you meet the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, the flesh of all, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the serpent, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, or even Satan, bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were fulfilled. After that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign in them 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are on the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. And he went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whom faced the earth, and the heaven fled away. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And then he goes on, seeing the new heaven, the new earth, the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down, which is the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then the setting shows that this goes on into the eternal ages, where nothing of a nature which we know today, such as abomination, sin, or whatsoever, will ever be able to enter into it. Now, further reading in paragraph, page 95, paragraph 132, Brother Branham said, this is the day of man. That's the reason they slam you around and do what they want with you. But there'll come a time They call you now holy roller and fanatic, but there'll come a time, see, that they won't do that. They'll scream and wail and fall at your feet. The Bible said in Malachi 4, you'll even walk out on the ashes after they're burnt up. Leave them, and leaving them neither root nor branch. Exactly what the Bible says. The righteous shall walk upon the ashes of the wicked. That's exactly. They'll not be left root or branch, nothing to come back to. They'll be done. Now this is man's day. Man's doing man's work, man's church, man's ideas, but the day of the Lord is coming. And you can see he's talking there in terms of the literal start of it when he begins to take over. So there will be a complete consummation of everything as we know it now. Now, the day of the Lord is spoken of in many verses. Now, we've looked at the Lord's day. Now, the day of the Lord is spoken of in many more verses than is the Lord's day because, except for an allusion to the first day of the week, which would be symbolic of the resurrection and death giving way to life coming into the Lord's day, there's only really one place the Lord's day is spoken of, and that's in Revelation 1 and 10. But the day of the Lord is spoken of in many places, in actually many verses. Now, some of the references to that would just go to the New Testament to begin with and get to the Old Testament, is Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 20. And it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, we took that because that takes us instantly back to Joel, the 2nd chapter, verses 30 and 31. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, with that, we're going to look at the second chapter of Isaiah. And verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Now, we'll have to turn instantly to Malachi 4, though we could run these in sequence of chapters, but you'll notice in 4 and 1 it says, for behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you'll tread down the wicked, for there'll be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb. For all Israel with statutes and judgment, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the children of the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, going back to Isaiah, the 13th chapter, verses 6 to 11, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, and their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereabout. And that sounds like the atomic bomb. For the stars of heaven, the constellation of, shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And you're right back to the proud again. And they and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Okay? Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, and verses 2-5, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. And that's a lot like Micaiah back there in the days of old Ahab when the 400 prophets of Baal were against him. So no matter how many people purport to be prophets, and there's going to be a slew of them whenever there's a genuine prophet, there's always somebody that is the real prophet to rise up and bring the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gap, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord said, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. You know, in other words, these prophets got to stand together and bunch together and sort of prove each other that they've got something, but the prophet of God doesn't have anybody but God. He stands all alone. They always kick him out. They don't want it. But these other fellows get together, and they formed a little group. They've got to, because you see, they're prophesying lies out of their own spirit. So they got to have somebody. This vision that he saw, the bride being tied down, and just like myriads of spirits had got her under control, then like a mighty giant, she rises. And of course, everybody got screaming, you know, with his prophecies, and you know, what's this other fellow's name? They got this idea. You know, the great thing that they got to back each other up. Well, I got news for them. They're wrong. The very man time that Sorella stood in there and told how the big revival was coming, Brother Branham walked in that room on that platform just like a hound dog sending out an animal, stood there, his head back, and he said, there's a wrong spirit in this room. Somebody told you a lie. Oh, that was like a lead balloon. Thank God for lead balloons.
Amen.
Brother, if it came from God, He knows how to get his balloons rising. See, they're not full of, you see, God's balloons ain't full of hot air. They're full of dynamite to get them off the ground. They're rocks, in fact, to build on. Sure. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies. Therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And so on. Well, we won't read any more there. We'll go to Joel. And there we'll see Joel 1, to be given in verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Now, you notice that word destruction has been used previously. So these prophets, you know, they speak the same word. Chapter 2:11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executed his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide? And that's where it takes you right to Revelation chapter 19:11 and what follows it. Then we go to chapter 3, 9-16. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your prunings into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble yourselves together and come all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now you remember this Armageddon is in Revelation. And there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Now you notice the judging there, what it's going to be. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. And there's your judgment right there. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. All right? You notice there's a connotation now, one of destruction, one deliverance. Now we'll go to Amos, the 5th chapter, and read along 16 to 20. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord said thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in the highways, alas, alas, and they shall cause the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. O unto you that desire the day of the Lord. In other words, the desire is there because they're bringing it on. It's like the God prepares the vessels unto glory, but it says in the book of Romans that those prepared unto destruction prepare themselves. And these people are rushing headlong because they know better. As Brother Branham said, iniquity, you know better than to do it, and you do it anyway. And it's also the same thing, you know to do better, and you won't do it because even though you know it. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, that's bringing it on. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And if a man, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even darkness and no brightness in it? Now that's to the ones, of course, that are coming under the element of destruction. Now, we go to Zephaniah, and in the verses 12 to 18, a little first chapter, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Now that's over in 2 Peter to the Gentiles, where all things just go on as they were. You know, therefore their God shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They'll plant vineyards, but they'll not drink the wine thereof. Because, you see, the time's coming to an end. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers. Now, you notice back over there in Amos, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? See now, and I'll bring distress upon men that they should walk like blind men. Now that's exactly, again, you're in the 3rd chapter of Revelation. Because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood should be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Now that sounds like the atomic bomb again, or something comparable. Neither shall their silver nor their gold be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Now you know that speaks against the money system, and the church has it all. In the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Now there you are, you're seeing your day of the Lord. Okay, let's go to Zechariah chapter 14, and that's the chapter we're going to have to read quite a bit of it, I guess. All right, behold, the day of the Lord cometh in verse 1, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, women ravished, half the city go into captivity, the residue of the people shall not be cut off in the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now you may wonder about that, but remember, in the great tribulation, the church is purged, the earth is purged, and Israel's purged. See, the destruction coming. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst up toward the east and west. There shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half the toward the south. Now, many times people think some of these are scripture and contradistinction to each other, or at least contradicting. They are not. It is simply successive descriptions of what can happen in a chain of events. And they'll all be carried out just as it says here. And you shall flee the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye have fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Notice there now that Enoch prophesied that, and that's Revelation 19:6 again. It'll come to pass in that day. Now watch, that the light shall not be clear nor dark. Now here you're getting not 2 days that are in contradistinction to each other, but you're getting elements of an unfolding that you put them all together. Now it says, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, and it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Now that's going on right now. So you see, you have to understand what we've been teaching all along, that everybody but pretty well a few of us are falling into the trap of looking forward or backward, and they cannot understand what is going on. Now, categorically, I've taken my stand that we do know what is going on. I've categorically said the judge is here. He is here. I have categorically said the king is here, and he is here. And Brother Branham says that in World's Falling Apart in 1963 in New York. I don't remember him even saying it. I wasn't there. I don't remember the tape. I never got it. I never got the book till recently. But we do know these things from the Word of God, because these things are revealed to us, and we're walking in the light because there is light at this hour. And many of these things may be to a degree obscure to us, but we know positively what is going on, which is the unfolding, and we're coming into this great hour of the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. We're faced with it, and you'll see how they come together. Now at evening time it shall be light. Now the evening time, of course, is the sunset upon the day of man. And now you're getting the sunrise upon the day of the Lord. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go up from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And that's when the light returns. And when it goes as far as the west, it stops and it goes back east. So you've got the water now moving both ways. It's moved from God, and it's come to the standstill. There's only one place it can go, that's back. See? All right. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. There shall be one Lord in his name one. That day, which is what? The peculiar time. The very thing that we're all talking about, that the world is talking about, it's coming into being. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And at that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. Now it tells you categorically there that this is the Lord's day. Right there. And you'll see over here the day of the Lord. You'll see what is coming, the destruction. In one time, it signifies that only there can be gloom and darkness, and then it turns around and tells you that there is something in here for the bride. Now this is what people always miss, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. And all they can do is think of the negative when there is a positive there. See? So you've got to always keep those things in mind. Now, and the land shall be turned as a plain from Jeba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabit their place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate, into the corner gate and the tower of Hananel, under the king's wine press. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. That's the atomic bomb. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one his hand upon his neighbor, and his hand shall rise against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver, apparel in great abundance. So shall the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, the ass, and all the beasts shall be in these tents be a plague. And that's exactly right, because they're going to find at that time there is nothing that's going to avail. Their money's going to go, their animals are going to go, their lives are going to go. There's nothing that is not going to go. See? It's got to devolve back upon Almighty God himself. Now let's go to the last book, which is Malachi. Malachi, the fourth chapter, you already read it. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, ye all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and leave them neither root nor branch. In other words, there's nothing to come back to. That system is over. It's all over. The day of man is finished. It's gone. There's nothing to commend it. It's entirely eradicated. And then God's going to start his own. With his own bride. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing wings, that's immortality. and you shall go forth and grub his calves as a stall. Now it tells you right there that you're going to have a growth you never had before. You are going to have something you'll be able to do and accomplish that never was within your reach. You're going to attain a maximum growth. For the first time, there's none of us that don't understand the stilting conditions that are forced upon us by the enemy. He has done nothing but circumvent us. He has done nothing but to destroy us. But when God gets us free of all of this in his kingdom, there is a growth that will amaze us. You talk about revelation. You talk about things beginning to move in the civilization, which is the faith by God that lies ahead. There is no comparison. It's the most marvelous thing in all the world, and man cannot envision it. Man has no way at this time to even get a glimpse. There is simply no way. There is no way, because you don't have the capacity. You have a modicum of the Spirit in order to know something is there, but you haven't got what it takes to enjoy it. It's just like the sinner by himself hasn't got what it takes to enjoy the things of God. Now, he can enjoy a fluke. He can enjoy a perversion. He can enjoy something which is hypocritical, farcical, and certainly not anything but a hybridized condition. Now, he can get that. But for him to come in and to dwell in the presence of the Lord with the pure things of God, he has no more time than for nothing. That's why you hear people say, he says, so what? Well, you're going to tell me that person's born again? And even claim they got the Holy Ghost? That's exactly right with the so-called Holy Ghost that came into them, so what? You better believe it. Now, it's not time to be fooling around and not pulling your punches. See? Not when men can come around and tell you that you're going to listen to them. No way. Try to make me some Nicolaitan. No way. I wouldn't even tolerate this church for 5 minutes. We'd disband it in 5 minutes from now. If anybody thinks I'm going to take any undue authority. I am so anti-religion and anti-organization at this point as I can be. And with the help of God, I'll be even more so. Said you're going to tread down the wicked. To be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, God's going to do it, and we're going to be doing it with him. But I'll tell you what. When you stand around and see something perpetrated, you become an accessory after the fact. I hope that's sunk in. Especially all these nice people. They're just too nice for God. That's right. Just too nice for God. I'm not bloodthirsty, but I better tell you one thing. I don't care what he does, as long as I'm there with him and he's doing, I would be glad to be accessory after the fact. I am an accessory after the fact by virtue of this. I am not identified with God. I am a part of God. Amen. We're through with all this hogwash people teach. There's the word of God. The errors have been revealed. Life has come in. You bet. That's what he wants. I'm for it. It doesn't name any names, cause any fight. I'm just for it. You bet. All right. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. All right. Now, let's go back to Acts, the second chapter again, where we started, which is taken from Joel. And he says in that second chapter, verse 19, I'll show wonders in heavens above and signs of earth beneath and blood and fire and paper smoke, and the sun be turned to dark and moon to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Tells you right there that the main thought of the great and notable day of the Lord is not the circumstances that precede it. Because the circumstances have been going on for a long, long time and merely accelerate. Then there's got to be a sudden chopping off. All right? With it, we go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And we'll read perhaps the first 3 verses. That's all we'll need. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need, I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, when they shall say peace and safety, Then cometh sudden destruction. Sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a womb with child, and they shall not escape. Now that's a very strange way to say things. It's coming as a thief. They're going to say peace and safety. Then destruction will come, as travail upon a womb with child, and they shall not escape. In other words, as a woman conceives and gradually becomes larger and larger, showing the manifestation of that which is to be born and issue out of her. The pain comes suddenly, but she knows it's there. So it is that these people, in spite of all their talk, they know that something is coming, but they make no preparation for it. Therefore, they are caught. At that time when the destruction comes suddenly. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, and the 2nd verse, that ye soon not be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of the Lord is at hand. It is not the day of Christ. You might as well just take and rub that out or put a line through it. It's the day of the Lord is at hand. Now that's concerning the Antichrist and all those things that are coming. With that we go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. We read it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, when all these scriptures are put together, and we reread what Brother Branham said in paragraphs 131 and 132, it reads this way. Now, John was transmitted from the Isle of Patmos in the Spirit over into the Lord's day. This is the day of man. Men are fighting. But the day of the Lord will come when these kingdoms will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Then there'll be the great millennium. The Lord's day, the day of His coming, His judgment, that'll be the Lord's day. What? He's taking over. This is the day of man. That's the reason they slam you around and do what they want with you. They call you now holy rollers and fanatics. But there'll come a time, see, that they won't do that. They won't be able to do it. We won't be even here to let them try it. They'll scream and wail and fall at your feet. Now, you better believe he's telling the truth. You say, well, that kind of sounds like they'll be saying, I recognize you. Why didn't you do something? I recognize you too. Why didn't you do something? I don't know. Could be true. The Bible said in Malachi 4, you'll even walk over out on the ashes, that's their ashes, after they're burnt up. Leave them neither root nor branch. No, he's putting that in our person along with the great ones, God. Exactly what the Bible says. The righteous shall walk upon the ashes of the wicked. That's exactly. They'll not be left root or branch. Nothing to come back to. We do. Now this is man's day. Man's doing. Man's work. Man's church. Man's idea. But the day of the Lord is coming. Now, from what we read, it seems very apparent that the day of the Lord and the Lord's day are inseparable. In that, the day of the Lord is the literal foundation for the Lord's day, for it wipes out man in his day and establishes the Lord in his day and contradistinction into our day, his kingdom, his throne. Let's go to Revelation 11. to 18. The seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. The Brother Branham quoted. And He shall reign forever and ever. Of His kingdom there shall be no end. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their faces, their seats rather, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, wast an art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The nations were angry. And thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, they should be judged. Thou should give reward to thy servants, the prophets, to the saints, them that fear thy name, small and great, and destroy them which destroy the earth. Okay, that tells you the things that are going to be going on. Not necessarily chronologically, but putting the emphasis where they belong. And then telling you how the emphatic things come to pass. Revelation 5, 8 to 10, after the opening of the seals. And when he'd taken the book, and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, as redeemed us to God, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Now, a look at Scripture seems to confirm this. So we go to the book of Matthew. In other words, the 2 days are irrevocably linked. And it's certainly true that the day of the Lord wipes the slate clean for the Lord's day. He's going to get his day back. Alright? He's going to get his kingdom back. Matthew 15 and 13. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's why it's root and branch. Get rid of the root, there aren't any branches. If you kill the spider, there aren't any spider webs. You burn the seed, that's one of the best ways to know there will not be any further manifestation. Every plant is going to be uprooted and destroyed. Matthew 22 and in 44. The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Let's just check some of that out. Let's go to Luke 12. I beg your pardon, 19. And in verse 27, But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Mark 12, 1-9. This gives you the picture. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted the vineyard, set a hedge about it, digged a place for the wine fat, built a tower, let it out to the husbandmen, went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent them another servant, and at him they cast stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. He sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some, having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved. He sent him also last unto them, saying, They will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said amongst themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyards to others. Now you say, well, that's talking about the Jews. I got news for you. Even at the white throne, Satan is going to deceive billions to come against God, and they'll be destroyed. So you just keep your wires straight. Revelation 19. (Clears verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's the ruling he's going to do over the wicked. People think that, some of them think that in the millennium, the children are going to be born. They'll be born sinners. But, of course, Satan will be trapped, so it doesn't matter too much. But they're going to hate the rule. This is his rule right here. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Verses 19 to 21. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They were both cast alive in the lake of fire, burning brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And that, of course, is Malachi chapter 4, 1-6. Now, let's also notice Revelation 20:7-15. And I read this. The 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go up to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters, corners, the quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. And gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and should be tormented forever and ever, day and night. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There is found no place for it. This is not necessarily chronological, because over here he's talking about resurrection, then tell what happens, and this is what happens after the resurrection in order to cause them to do the things they did. That's as far as I understand this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was opened. This is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right? Verse chapter 21, 23-27. And the city has no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord delighteth in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor unto it. And the kings of it shall not, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring their glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination, or lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. See, there's no place there for anything other than the totally redeemed. Now, you can see that destruction follows a certain period of time, and in every instance, when there must be a cleansing, there is a continuing of the uprooting of what God has not planted until there is nothing left but only the plants of God. All right? Now let's go back to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Verses 7-15. Or back to 31-46. The Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, and shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he'll separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides sheep from goats. You set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. The king will say to them in the right hand, come, ye blessed, my Father, inherit the king prepared for you in the foundation of the world. And then he tells them why he's going to take them in. In verse 41, he'll say to them on the left hand, depart from ye, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You can see the separating there. Now, you get this picture back in Daniel 7. And I saw till the thrones were placed. Brother Branham said, cast down means they came down to the earth. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wood, his throne like fiery flame. And his wheels as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand ministered unto him, and 10,000 times and thousands stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books rolled. And I saw then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed, and given the burning flame. Now what he's doing, tracing this whole thing down to this point here, which is the Ancient of Days and the white throne judgment. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for season and time. In other words, this has not taken place even yet. It's still down the road. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they were brought near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's God in his Christ, as Brother Branham said. And all people, that all people, nations, language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. In other words, the kingdom which God has on earth is completely affiliated with him and thoroughly dedicated to him and his cause. Everything else is going to be burnt up. Now, this lines up with 1 Thessalonians. I beg your pardon, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that fled. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from among the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first, just afterward they that are Christ at his presence. And that presence, of course, goes plumb right on. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till all entity put all enemies under his feet. Now you saw how that was done, destruction. First of all, they're destroyed in a physical sense, and they're brought back to prove, then proven to them that in a spiritual sense they've got to go. And that's at your white throne, that's the lake of fire, where body, soul, and spirit is all destroyed. It's annihilated. The last enemy destroyed is death. That's what it says. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put on under him, it is manifest that he is left out, which did put all things under him. In other words, God is doing this now in the person of the Holy Spirit, bringing everything so that Jesus Christ can come to the millennial throne, and then go to the great white throne, and then go on to the New Jerusalem and sit upon that throne. And every single thing is under him except God himself, because God is doing all things, because God was in Christ. See, he's doing it all. So then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God might be all in all. Now that's exactly right. So therefore, as Brother Branham said, if there is no representation up there, you'll not have representation down here. Now remember, the wise virgin and the foolish virgin is all one elected piece of cloth. Now I talk of the general foreknowledge and election and predestination of the cloth. But when the great designer puts the pattern on the cloth, then you speak of a bride cut out of the cloth. So there's that only difference. But as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. There's not one lost. There never has been and never will be. Every plant that my Father hath not planted is uprooted. Then every plant that my Father hath planted shall be established in its proper and divine order, because everything is in order. And God so loved the world, his own order, that Jesus Christ died for that order. It's all going to be established again so God can be all in all. It's the most fantastic thing under heaven. I'm going to preach on it sometime to show you where these things are going. Because believe me, it is absolutely fantastic. All right. I'd say so far so good. We'll go on. See, we got to the place, the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. They work in conjunction with each other. We can see that God must take a terrible destruction upon everything, wipe it all out, in order to establish what he wants established in his kingdom, which is a kingdom of priests and kings unto Almighty God. All right, we'll go on. To do so, we're going to go back now to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, because we're going to try to weave it into the present situation. Now, We'll read from 13 right into the 5th chapter, because it's all one piece. Ignore the division that says 5th chapter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sore are not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with Jesus. For that's what I believe that says there. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not take any precedence or any thing over any superior stage or anything over them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend them with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort not one with these words, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need I read unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction upon them as travail upon a woman's child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, may they be drunken or drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, for in the helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17 is the rapture. This is the treatise on the actual programming and carrying out of the getting of the living and the sleeping bride to the marriage supper. You understand what I said? This is the treatise on the actual programming. What God has programmed and the literal putting into the effect the program that is going to get the living and the dead both changed and up to the wedding supper. All right. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:1 to 5, we are appraised of exactly when 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17 takes place. Well, he's talked about it, and then he said, comfort not with these words, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need to direct. What times and seasons? When this is going to take place. Now he says times and seasons. So this is going to be in a period of time that people are bound to recognize if they have anything to do with the living God that is really true. Now they won't be asleep. If they are, they'll awake. They won't be unaware. They will not be trapped. They are not appointed to wrath. They are vessels that are not fitted to destruction. They are vessels fitted to glory. So therefore, they are not going to be trapped at the time that this takes place, which, according to Scripture, is the day of the Lord, the day of destruction. Now, so 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-5, we're appraised of exactly when 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-17 take place. It is an absolute conjunction, somehow, with the day of the Lord. Now, let's take a look at the day of the Lord. Let's go back to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Now, John speaking of this one, he said in verse 11, well, first of all, look, you can read the whole thing, because it's a kind of repeat for our day, because we have our own John the Baptist, and we have the Christ appearing amongst us, proving who he is in the Spirit. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom is at hand. Now, they threw it down the drain at that time, but this is one time when it cannot be thrown down the drain, because this time it's not based upon the will of man, it's based upon God saying, I'm going to get it back. In other words, you and I don't have a choice. Now, for this is he spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying on us, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The same John in his raiment of camel hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and meat with locusts and wild honey. And then he went out to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about Jordan, And they were baptizing him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees, the generation of vipers, see, the serpent seed, they're religious but wrong, come to him for baptism, O generation of vipers. And that's right back to and that viper, you know, that's a snake. That's what the serpent got turned, that's what the beast got turned into, the boa constrictor. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, he said, let me see something that makes me to know you boys changed your mind. Think not that now I can prove it. Think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Now let's face it, John the Baptist came on the scene and he said God could come on the scene if he wanted to. And he was God's own representative. And he was speaking for God and he said, God can just take those stones and turn them right now into children. What do you think of them apples? You say, I don't think they'll do it. Well, you don't believe God then. See, when the human mind begins to falter and tell God what he can do or not do, you got something wrong with you. Well, you say, I think John was talking about these other stones out there. Human stones? Call it what you want. I don't care how you look at it. That's okay by me. But I tell you, you better read the next verse. Now also the axe is laid to every root of the trees. Now there's a common root to all trees on both sides of the fence. One's the root that God didn't put in the ground, the other's the root that God did put in the ground. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What's the good fruit? Repentance, which is a change of mind. I indeed baptize you unto repentance. He said, don't come here unless you really got your mind changed. You don't put a new patch on an old garment. You don't come with some of your thoughts and say, well, I'll just retain these because I like them. See, that's what happened back there at the time of Adam and Eve. They saw the fruit was good and they saw this and they saw that. They said, well, hey, I'll just go for that. When the showdown comes, you don't go for nothing. Except what God said, it's severance time. Let's just face it now. I know people say people don't like the idea. Let's just keep reading. I baptize you with water and repent. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when that's over, his fan will be in his hand. When the baptism with the Holy Ghost gives out, here it is right there. The same as Ephesians. That's what the prophet said, temporary. Not while you're back in another age, but in the seventh church age when the last ones are coming in. The same one that baptizes is there with the fan. Because it's in that day the separation has got to take place. We're talking about living. We're not talking about dead now. Because it says this is to the living. Thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat in the garner, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Alright. That is the day of the Lord. The burning of the chaff after the grain is in the garner. At the time when the baptism with the Holy Ghost is running out and does run out. Then, no more is coming in. There will be a separation. Okay. We go back to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And we read 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now he tells you categorically, the living and the dead will have the same power. He will come to get the dead, and they will live with him. He is coming to get us living, and we will live with him. The gathering the wheat into the garner makes no difference whether you sleep or not. You're going to make it. As he said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I'd have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that there where I am, there you may be also. Now, the same one in Matthew 3 and 12, whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purging the floor, Now, Brother Branham mentions the kingdom, the judgment, the whole bit. And there won't be a kingdom unless there's a separation. God is not going to hopefully have a kingdom wherein he induces his citizens. His citizens will be previous to the kingdom. That is pertaining to the literal land masses that they walk upon and what they are involved in physically. Matthew 3:12 is carrying out 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, because we're going to be put into the garner. And whether we sleep or lie, we are the Lord. So the garner will be where the harvest is taken, which is up to the wedding supper. Why? Because it's a first fruits unto God, which is the living bride. All right. Now, notice please, the burning in Matthew 3:12 of the chaff has nothing to do with the dead as of Revelation 20:5, 11, and 15, Matthew 25:31-46. Now let's just take a quick peek at that so you know what we're talking about. Revelation, the 20th chapter. And verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again, for the sons of the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. 11-15. Saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it. So on, the books are open. The sea give up its dead, and death and hell cast a lake of fire. This is the second death. It tells you that those who are not the planning of the Lord are now going to go to annihilation of the lake of fire, which in Matthew 3 was not annihilation, nor in Malachi. It is the cleansing, the purging, the getting rid of those and putting them in a suspended state until the white throne judgment. Matthew 25 is the same, because they all come before him and the books are open. And you'll notice a vast throng go into eternal life. Everyone whose name is in the book. Not Lamb's Book of Life, evidently, but Book of Life. And even men's names could be in there because the life was granted to them. But they weren't real in the first place. They were insinuated in there. Just like he said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now you could have many names in there, but because they were not the seed of Adam, they will be taken out, and they will be literally destroyed in the lake of fire. So therefore, the first case we see, the chaff is separated from the wheat. In the second case, it is the sheep from the goat. Now notice, chaff from wheat. You will see in there that the same life that came up all the way had a carrier. And God destroys the carriers. He pruned off the branches that had no life, and they wait for the white throne. But at the end time, he has to burn the people that are standing there in order to have a clean earth for the children of God to come back on. Now then, you notice, he separates the sheep from the goat. They're two strains entirely. There's no chaff and wheat here at all in that sense. These are they who are of a wrong sort. Or they may look like sheep. They may try to act like sheep, but they're goats. And at the end time, they'll be literally destroyed in the lake of fire. Now, therefore we see in Matthew 3:12 and Malachi 4:1-6 are literally the same, except for Malachi has the compounded revelation which shows that these people, though they have nothing to come back to, they themselves will be destroyed. It's not as though they could come back and ever continue, but they themselves will be thoroughly destroyed. Now let's further note that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, not a thing is said about the living getting a change to immortality, just the dead. Now that's strange, but it's true. You don't find one thing said there. It just says the dead are going to come forth. It doesn't say that the living are going to be changed. Now, to immortality. Notice what it says, however, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, concerning that great advent which we know to have occurred. Science has got its pictures. The great one himself, the judge, surrounded by 7 mighty angels, came down to earth in order to open those seals and give us the revelation. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, even our gathering together unto Him. He becomes the standard of the church. And anybody that believes in denominations or puts any man at the head of it, that man is gone. He no more has the Holy Ghost. I'll say this without fear. Well, I'll keep it back. I have a little fear of the odd time I was going to say dead hog, but I say it anyway. How in the world, if He is here, that men can be Nicolaitan and Leota seed in their concept? Organization. No popes, no holy one, no district presbyters, no presidents, nobody running around taking authority. And they better not try to counsel me to take authority. They get their hides blasted. And I'm not through yet blasting, and don't think ever will. No man will try to tell me to take authority. Oh, yeah, Brother Vail, you teach preachers. How do I? Drop dead. Get your own teaching. I teach, period. Period, period, period. And by now you know it. It has nothing to do with personalities or anything else. If I have the Word of God, I'm grateful. If I don't, I'm sorry. I'm going to answer for in the long run. But I'm not a fool to stick my head up and make myself somebody when I am not. When He is here, He is everything. And our gathering together is unto Him. And we start it. Then the dead gather with us. Yes! Because they're there and we're here. The gathering is with us on this earth. And maybe 45, 75, 95, God knows how many days, and I care less. We get to know each other and get it all over. We know who isn't missing. We know our loved ones and all these people. Then we go up and He becomes the fullness of the full attraction. So we're not in any way looking around at anybody but Him. That's what a real marriage is. When the bride and the groom really get together, she's not wondering if she missed the boat, and he's not wondering if he could have got a better deal. Oh, come on, merciful God. Fap. That's a bunch of crud out here, but we're sons of God. That's the way to lay her down, boy. Listen, the gathering together is unto Him. This is not in the rapture of sent, because the shout is first, and the trumpet is third, which is the catching up. It's under the message, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that we begin to find our places. Now, then what is taking place exactly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? It is the Lord descended in order that He take us up to be presented to our head, which is a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom God incarnates Himself. It is the descended Lord of Revelation 10 and 1. And you'll see Him over here. I saw another mighty messenger. He's a messenger of His own covenant. Come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud. And a rainbow was upon His head. That's the one that was on the throne in Revelation 4 and 5. Face as it were the sun. Feet as pillars of fire. And notice, when He swears by Him that created, there is only one that can swear by God, and that is God Himself. And remember when He swore to Abraham that He would perform His oath. The same one here now is swearing to perform His oath, which is to make sure that we are going to be in that wonderful kingdom. Now, so, Revelation 10 and 1, and is also Revelation 22 and 10. Because at the time that scene takes place, John was way back there, and he saw that it was going to be sealed up. But in Revelation 22 and 10, it becomes unsealed. Seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. Now remember, there's only one that can seal the book, can unseal the book. Remember, Jesus gave the book back, it was closed. He alone could open it. The Lamb opened it. And so what you've got here is the opening of this book down here on earth, which was closed, is now open, and at that time it categorically says, he that is unjust still. The fan is in his hand, and he's separating the chaff from the wheat. He that is holy still. Righteous is righteous still. And then it says, behold, I am coming quickly. And at that time I'll give my reward. So something is going on that precipitates the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. And this is part of the whole thing. You see, we find a continuity. We do not find a separation. God does not deal in separations except to separate what he's supposed to separate. But God deals in a continuity with both. Because the vine of the earth is growing, at the same time the vine of God is growing. That's why he said, shall I pull these plants up with the word? No, let them grow together. I'll separate them in due time. Let them grow in the harvest. And that's what we got here. Now, so therefore, at this particular time of 1 Thessalonians 4, which is Revelation 10 and 1, Revelation 22, we find the book of Luke chapter 17. It's funny, even Scofield can see these things if you study them long enough. And when he's verse 20, demand the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh but not with observation. It's invisible to you. It'll be there and you won't see it. And there he stood right with them, because he is the kingdom. Brother Branham also said that, and we know that. Because it's true, because if he is the creator, let's face it, then he can make a kingdom any day he wants. And the kingdom is already there waiting for visibility. All right, we're into that dimension now. It cometh not with observation. Neither shall they see, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is already in the midst of you, and I'm telling you, here it is. And he said, the days will come when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you'll not see it. And they'll say to you that are going to see it, see here, see there. Don't follow. For his lightning fire shineth under one part of heaven, the other part also the Son of Man shall be in his day. Now that's absolutely what the Bible says about the Gentiles, that he is a name and he is a spirit to the Gentiles. He's a light. Now it tells you if he's got to suffer before this takes place. Now he's already in his day. Already John the Baptist said the kingdom is at hand. Here comes the one that's the king. Here's your Messiah. Here's your Redeemer. Here's the whole thing. Here he is right here, and they turn him down. Now he said it's going to suffer. But remember now, he said, when this comes to pass, later down the road, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. Now the days of Jesus wasn't the days of Noah. They ate, they drank, they married wives, gave in marriage, until the Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. No way, because the ark was, because that day was folding everything up. Jesus came to start everything up. In the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted. The same day Lot went out of Sodom, rain, fire, and brimstone. There again, that's a wind-up. That's not a beginning, that's a wind-up. Now it says, even thus it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now that wasn't back there, it's now. There is a revelation. He is going to be revealed. Now, in that day he's on the housetop, not come down, and take anything away. If he's in the field, don't let him return. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and he shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there should be two in one bed, one taken, one left. Two be grinding, one taken, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. They answered and said, where, Lord? And he said, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered. Now what is he telling you about? He's telling you exactly where the body is. Now he said, this body's got to go into the ground, and it's going to be taken away in the resurrection from you. But he said, this body is right. He's going to appear in the body of truth, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in the form of the Word, bringing his revelation. And that is where the eagles are going to be, which is exactly 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter in the first verse. We are gathered together unto him. Now, with Luke 17 and 20, which mentions the kingdom of God, we go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, which we are in already. Verse 20th verse, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection from among the dead, and so on. Now, he's talking of the resurrection here. Now watch. In this resurrection, down later in the 50th verse, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither can corruption inherit incorruption. So therefore, at the time of the revealing of the Son of Man, at the time that mighty one comes on down, at that time the gathering of the people are unto him, and at that time he is going to see that the kingdom of God is in a position to come upon the earth. Because it said flesh and blood cannot inherit. Now these people that are dead will be raised incorruptible. What about us? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're all going to be changed. Think tonight the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise and grumble, and we shall all be changed. So it tells you right here, at this particular time, the kingdom of God is in view. So therefore, the man that's the John the Baptist of this hour can truly say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, behold the judge, behold the king, behold the ruler, behold it all, and behold the kingdom is already here, in and going from the negative to the positive. Now the negative doesn't mean, look, this fellow has a negative thought. Oh, I'm going to get sick. Oh, I'm going to get sick. It's not that at all. It means as in a camera, that the foreknowledge and the principle of God is as a word, as a negative that comes out of a camera. Now, you go from the negative to the real picture by developing processes. So therefore, we have come from the embryonic, or the original Word of God, into the manifestation, and we're about to look at it. And it's going on now. We're coming closer and closer and closer until the dead could come out of the ground in not very distant time, and we are going to be changed, and the whole thing is going to go into the rapture, and then the judgments of God are going to fall on this earth, although they already started back in 1964. The seals are already open, the sixth seal, the seventh are all open. Everything is open to us. They're coming. Everything is nothing that isn't open. The whole thing is in a progress. There's no one needs to be deceived anymore. There's no one needs to be taken unaware anymore. Everybody knows that he's not ordained unto condemnation. He's ordained unto eternal life. The whole thing is an open view. And everybody that hasn't entered into the Spirit of the Lord's day, the great takeover of Almighty God, and is not fearful concerning the day of the Lord, there's something wrong with that person. He's missed it. He's missed it, that's all. Now, we leave the earth after 1 Corinthians 15 and 20 and 1 Corinthians 15, 51. And the great tribulation of 3.5 years now comes on, which is the build-up in the day of the Lord to Revelation 19 and 11, which goes right into the Lord's day, which is the complete sovereignty of Almighty God. So that nobody but nobody misunderstands who is boss and who's taking over. Nobody but nobody misunderstands who the bride is, who is going to run the earth. Now, let's look at the picture. Malachi, the fourth chapter, which we've gone into in a whole series of messages about 2 years ago. In 4:1-3, and 5 and 6, we can leave that one verse out if we like. Behold, the day cometh that's going to burn as an oven. All the proud, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. Now that's the great day of the Lord. That day's going to come and God's going to burn them up. And there'll be nothing to come back to. No way, shape, and form. Not a house, not anything. Now, of course, we understand what the Russians and the Americans are trying to do. They're going to get a bomb out here that'll kill everybody and then let everybody come back and take over. Hogwash ain't going to happen. I'm not very smart, but they're stupider than I am. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you will tread down the wicked. In other words, there is a spiritual growth now going on in this message that you might not be aware of that's going to put you right into that millennium. Soon as the dead come out of the ground. Now, the soles of your feet are going to tread upon them in the day that I do this, said the Lord. In other words, the great day of the Lord, you're going to be here with it. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, I commanded Horeb, for all Israel's statutes and judgment. Now he tells you right there, there were two commandments given. One was unto condemnation, one was unto grace. Now condemnation is going to take those who are away from the light, and commendation is going to take those who are in the light, which is grace. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now he tells you that right flat. That prophet's going to come. And it says here, because the first part has happened, he will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and this will cause God to come and not smite. That's why the Lord himself can descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice, the archangel trump of God, and we can be taken out of here by him, and then we're going to come back with him. And then you watch the sparks begin to fly. That's exactly right. Now, it is very clearly set forth here, there are two things. Number one, I am coming to destroy and make way for my day. Number two, I am coming to bless and get my subjects ready for my kingdom on earth. Two things.
That's right. Now, under those three things, one, A, I am here to gather the living. Two, I am here to raise and gather the dead. Three, I am here to change the living. Four, I am here to take both to the wedding supper. That's exactly what he's doing. So there you see, the day of the Lord, it's already started. The Lord's day has already started. In the day of the Lord, which is going to end in that great slaughter, where the blood will flow right up like the horse's bridle. That's atomic destruction again. The blood will not congeal. Where their faces will be like a flame. They'll consume away in the eye sockets, the whole thing. It's been happened already. It'll happen again. Happened in the days of Noah. When the earth unleashed its power against each other. You bet it did. Straight away back there at Nimrod, the first great organizer. Yes, sir. Now, then in closing, the day of the Lord and the Lord's day is simply this to me. Number one, the day of the Lord is to establish his sovereignty, preparing the final steps for his kingdom to take over. The Lord's day, sovereignty established. He has taken over. See, you've got to have a process. And we're in it. You can see that all this is going on right now. Once this starts, there is no stopping of it. The thing is to recognize it. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, means there is a continuation, there is not a lull. That's why Peter warns, he says, it's the Father's fallacy. Everything continues. Why there's a big gap. The big gap theory. Well, there isn't any gap. From the day he sent the Holy Spirit, started a bride, he has not ceased to work and is working and will bring the bride out of here. Indeed, if you want to recognize the truth, as Brother Branham said, the church, like its head, must fall in the ground and die, which it did in Catholicism. But under Luther, it began to come back. You realize, really, the shout literally started under Luther. It literally started. That's why Brother Branham said, you potentially had the Holy Ghost. But all you were is baptized. But you began getting. And the Holy Spirit coming up through the church until he came back to headship in this hour. Amen. Sure. And remember, when it comes to headship, it demands a resurrection because there's nothing left.
That's right.
Amen. Now, people think I'm saying something wrong. Like one fellow said, well, Brother Dale said that when you come to the Holy Ghost, that's all. Well, they say, if the Holy Ghost is God, what else do you want? Look at this. There's a lot of people aren't half as smart as they think. It's just like Lincoln said, you see, it's all right to keep your mouth shut and people think you're a fool and open it and prove you are one. Quoting Lincoln the best I can. All right. Restoration is here. Perfection has come and is only waiting to go through the proper order to manifest itself as it really is under the proper condition, which is all things now positive. There isn't any negative left. That's right. People think there is, but you're wrong. Because there isn't one trick unturned. There isn't one that hasn't been done. The seed sown is called forth into manifestation. And only the planting of God in its full reality will remain. All else is shaken down. The world is falling apart. Now, there's only one place that's safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. That's where repose is. Brother, sister, look at the day of the Lord. Judgment, destruction, the day of battle, the day of anger, the day of wrath. All of these things are here upon us now. Because in his full revelation, the mighty God fully in view, he is king, he is everything.
Amen.
There isn't one thing he's got in him. He already is. Just like that flower of proper seed, the proper condition will be absolutely a manifestation of that life within it. So God is manifesting himself and bringing up a bride to glory. The day of the Lord and the Lord's day we're anxious for. And listen, that's why Brother Brand said, I don't care what it costs. I want to be there. I'm going to tell you something. It cost Jesus Christ enough. I never asked you and me to pay a cost. There wasn't a price we could pay. That's why the legalist isn't going to be there. No, sirree. That old circumcision ain't going to be there. He's too busy trying to do some kind of works and showing his flesh to somebody. But just listen a while. You'll find he's none but a barefaced liar. That evil worker, he's none but that sweet old guy Cain that can't divide the word of God and stands back and he's all a tremble like a bowl of jelly. Hell, he ain't God nice. How nice is God to the enemies? They weren't nice to him. See, nice is nice, brother, sister. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Branham said, love is doing the will of God. He said, compassion is doing the will of God. Let's get down to where the things are. Not some crumbling crookie. Let's get to where the rocks of salvation are. The grace of Almighty God manifest. Sure, I'm for all these things, nice people. Everything sweet, everything lovely. Why do you think we rise up around here? Because everything isn't sweet and lovely. I'm all for it. But I tell you, that land of eternal bliss is breaking on us. Now look at brother, sister. You're not looking. Let's get this flat. Quit looking back in the rear view mirror. You haven't got time to look in the rear view mirror when you're going down that narrow road. You watch both sides of this. You look back. Look back. You'll go into this. Go ahead. Be my guest. Right? Quit looking in the rear view mirror. And don't look too far down the road. Start looking at the road right now. Where are you? Where are you? Right in the south. The gathering together unto him. Yep. He coming to give us safety and deliverance. And we're out of here. Then that great one incarnated comes down. He doesn't even come down before all the wrath begins hitting the world. It's got to hit the world to cleanse it. Got to hit the Jew. Got to hit the church. Got to come right down here and end it all up. And then start the whole thing over in the divine program. So listen, you're not looking down the road anymore. Brother Branham said so truly, history will not be written. But we are the eternal record of God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for mercy, love, and grace. What you showed us in this last hour, we're very grateful for, O God. And we praise you, Lord, that these things that we know them as we never knew them before, settles us right down, relaxes us right down. Lord, certainly it's a truth that we're beginning to know as we're known. All these things breaking open before us. And we know we don't have to look down the road to try to figure things out. We can just stand still and see the glory of the Lord. We can believe the great messenger like Eliezer came to Rebecca way back there with appropriate gifts to vindicate who he was. And then give her the message. And we like her, are of the appropriate character to stand still and listen to view the manifestation and to know that this rings true. And to say, yes, we'll go. We're only too glad to go. Take us to that one. And see that one in whom the promise is revealed. And we're very glad, Lord, that this one, like our Isaac, signifying laughter, it is not the laughter of derision, but it is the laughter of pure joy, that we are not going to be of those that are here for destruction, but only by your grace, Lord, are we here for a reconstruction. Yep, changing the very atoms and taken away with our loved ones. What a wonderful, beautiful, divine plan is laid before us, Lord. And now to see these things just going from grace to grace is entirely thrilling. And we praise you, Lord. Bless each one in divine presence. May the sick among you be healed, Lord. May there be a new vitalization in every front of this great Christian battle life as never before, because we know the commander-in-chief is here. And there isn't going to be one of us fall, because there won't be any Aikens among us looking for the Babylonian garment and the big wedges of silver and gold. No way, shape, and form, because we've been declared the righteous, pure bride of Jesus Christ. And knowing these things, we have no affection and attachment for the world, but we have our affections and attachment for the great present now. God, in the midst of her people, she'll not be ashamed. Lord, we praise you for these things. Just thanking you from the bottom of our hearts. Go with us, we go. Bring us together in love and mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Nice to have been a little time with you. Now, we've been sort of mulling over some things, like wondering about knowing that Christmas is on Sunday. There'll be no service canceled. I want you to understand that. That's not the idea, but a lot of people like a little Christmas at home and not against it. We thought maybe it might be good if we all came together and had dinner, but we're going to have that next week, so that's going to cancel. Tell you what you do. Service is going to be here as usual. If you want to start a little earlier, that's fine, Sunday. If you want to eat at home on Saturday, make it your Christmas, do what you want. But on Sunday, it's going to be service, and after church, you do what you want. That's the only thing I figure that's the best solution instead of asking anybody what to do. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Makes it easier. It makes it much easier. So that's what we'll do. And if some of you want to get together, you want to invite people to your home and all, just Well, look at that's great. We've already told the Greens if they want to come because they don't have a family, come on down, stay with us, and we'll feed them at least a mutton chop or something. And, or, you know, go up there and steal an ear off one of Greg's hogs. And or a tail roasted. No, so you do the same thing. Hey, if somebody, you figure that someone, so you can invite somebody, I'm going to leave it up to individuals, okay? All right, take the name of Jesus with you. Who's going to start it?